What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome our Notre Dame brethren, Carl, over here, because nobody really likes Ohio State. Well, nobody really likes Notre Dame either, if we're honest.
This is true. This
either
is
way,
true.
It's Notre Dame, Ohio State, national championship, Monday night, and a lot of folks are already rolling into town. And welcome to Atlanta if you are new here at the bar. We're Dukes of Bell, Atlanta's number one sports talk radio show. And we start every hour of every show with a big hearty, hey, man! And let's just jump right in, Carl. A friend of ours, Buck Ballou, former Georgia quarterback, goes on his show and says that the offensive coordinator for the Georgia Bulldogs, Mike Bobo, is going to step down because of health concerns. And you and I did some digging around, talking to our sources, and they say it's complete bull spit.
So, well, I'll say this, Mike. A lot of people want Bobo to either change what he does.
Me here, yes.
Or they want him out. And he's good friends, obviously, with Kirby Smart. I didn't think all of this was on Bobo this year, but to hear these rumors that are flying around, and you guys know me, mm-hmm. I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out. This is ridiculous. To say this, Mike, and it not be true, to say this and it not have any factual base behind it, and we're going to talk to our buddy Rusty Manziel coming up at around 2:40 to clear things up. Rusty covers recruiting. He covers the Dogs. You guys know he is an insider. And to hear today that Bobo is actually out recruiting and there's nothing to this rumor makes you wonder what is going on. Is this movement to potentially try to get him up out of Georgia?
Yeah, look, we've said it a million times. He is he's good at what he does, good guy. They're all good guys.
Yes.
But I just don't like his style. I don't think they run the football enough. I think sometimes they let other teams dictate the tempo. And I know that this year a lot of Georgia fans have, you know, surprisingly come to Mike's defense when we've killed Bobo because they said, look, Bobo can't catch the ball, and those Georgia receivers couldn't catch the ball. And this year the Georgia offensive line really couldn't block against the elite teams. You saw it up in Kentucky, you know, and then everybody else kind of had their way with the Georgia offensive line, including Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. But at the end of the day, are you getting the best? Can you get a better, younger, or a different perspective in at offensive coordinator? Todd Monken was no spring chicken.
No.
But he came in and set things on fire.
Well, I think he diversified what they did. And now you're seeing that with the Ravens and how he's made Lamar better. Like, there's no debating what Todd Monken is able to do and how he is, Mike. We've been talking about this all week, developing players and developing these guys on offense. I think Stetson Bennett got better because of Todd Monken.
Right.
I think the guys that we saw win those national championships progressively got better every week. Now, again, is this a situation where behind closed doors, Mike, Georgia, Kirby Smart, maybe even Mike Bobo, look, we know where our deficiencies are on offense. We're not this good here, here, right. Here, and here. And we're going to try to cover it up the best we can until we can get the guys in here that we need to. Or this was just a fact of maybe that the play calling and the execution of that play calling was crap all season, and that's kind of what we got.
Right.
I don't know. It's one of the two or somewhere in between. But I'm just going to say, I don't think Bobo's going anywhere, and I don't think that he should. Simply put, because of the quarterback situation you had. Guys, Carson Beck at one point went through a 3 or 4 week stretch where, Mike, he had right. 10 interceptions. You know, you had guys, you mentioned it, dropping the ball. They didn't efficiently run the ball. Connor Riley came on our show this week and said, This is one of the worst years in running the ball for Georgia in a long time.
They wasted whatever you thought Trevor Etienne was going to be. It was a big waste of time. You know, this guy was highly touted coming in from Florida, and just, you know, the Clemson game, unfortunately, he was suspended for. You didn't really need him in that one because they took care of business. Everyone wants to see Frazier get the ball more, but Frazier's got to hold on to that football. But I just thought this year you wasted opportunities. You let Texas – I thought, you know, the Texas game with Carson Beck, you got to just sit him down. What are you doing? What's going on? How do you not figure your quarterback out? He's a guy that whatever you thought Carson Beck was going to be, help him out. Did Mike Bobo help him out? Well, whether you think Mike Bobo should be the guy or not, the rumor about him stepping down because of health concerns we are hearing is not true. We're also hearing he's actually in South Florida on the recruiting trail right now. More on that at 2:40 with Rusty Manziel. I would, if I was Kirby Smart, move on from Mike Bobo. I would move on from Stacy Searles. Again,
which one though? If you had to pick one,
I think Stacy Searles in the offensive line. But yes. I've never been a big fan of Bobo. Going all the way back to his first run here, I can cite different incidents. I was joking around on Wednesday with Chris. It's like the Alabama game where you say, "Hey, let's get into a peeing contest with Jalen Milroe." No. Run the ball. Play your game. Just like 2011, Boise State comes to town. Hey, there you go, high up-tempo. You're going to try to match that? No, play SEC football. Run it down their throat. I've never been a big fan of Bobo.
So let me, but Kirby, let me ask
Kirby's,
you.
That's his guy.
It is, but let me. Don't you think he's gotten better, though? Mike, all these years he's been a coordinator.
I think he has a ceiling, and I think you saw it in time. I think, look, everybody has to deal with a counterpunch. Everyone has to deal with what the other team's throwing at you. As Mike Tyson says, everyone's got a plan to get hit in the mouth, and I just didn't think they kind of countered as well as maybe they should have. How much of that is on the limitations of the roster, to your point?
Yep.
That's maybe beyond Bobo's control. But either way, we will get Rusty's take on this coming up at 2:40. Now, the question, and of course, immediately Georgia fans go, well, who are you going to get? Well, I don't exactly have a short list, but I would go with any team which is kicking ass offensively in a balanced attack and pull somebody from that program. Which, by the way, it's not like you make it sound like you couldn't find better than Bobo if he was ever going to be pushed out. I don't buy that argument either.
No, listen, you've got one of the premier programs in the country. These guys are clamoring to get to Georgia and prove that they can do it at that level. Win national championships, and potentially move on. Mike, you know, the poster child right now for Georgia is Todd Monken. He's about to get a head coaching opportunity in the National Football League. And you said it, he's not a spring chicken. So you come here, you win, you get the recognition, you move on. Yes, you make a lot of money, but in the process, you also grow as a coach. This is a great location for anybody to want. So for Georgia fans, that should be your last thing that you're thinking about is who would want this job or who can we get. Hell, there's probably 10 guys right now off of this rumor that are calling Kirby Smart.
Right, and the other thing is, you know, we've talked about this a million times. When we hired Todd Monken, Carl and I kind of just shrugged, like, okay. Because Chaney was no great shakes. You know, if you think about it, we never understood what happened or didn't happen when Justin Fields was here. But then you get on to, you know, Todd Monken, who had been at Southern Miss and had been a lifer back and forth in the college and pro game. But he really took it to another level.
He grew.
And they say that he used to drive Stetson crazy, and Stetson and him had like this love-hate thing. But it worked, and it turned into two natties. He goes to Baltimore. Look, I still don't understand what happened in last year's AFC Championship. But this year, he takes a guy that's already won the MVP twice, and he's got even better numbers now and should be the third-time MVP with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar's accuracy is up. It's as high as it's ever been. Quarterback rating as high as it's ever been. 40-plus touchdowns. I mean, it speaks for itself. You can't dismiss that not being Todd Monken in his ear, Mike.
Right.
And helping him along the way and getting him prepared. Now, we know he's a special player, but the things that matter at quarterback, he's gotten better at. And so, I'm with you. I mean, the reason why I wasn't excited at the time when he got hired at Georgia is, to your point, he was an old-school guy who I thought was going to bring in an old-school attitude and certainly a playbook to Georgia. He didn't do that. They opened up the playbook with the walk-on and let him throw it around the yard, and then they had the best defense in the country, which helped them. So you got more possessions. You scored more points. I just didn't think he was going to be the coordinator he turned out to be.
And don't forget, guys, Jim Chaney came here because Jim Chaney was a package deal with Sam Pittman.
That's right.
It was like the old days of Rooms to Go. I really like the couch and I love the coffee table. Do I have to take those ugly lamps? No, it's a package deal. You got to do it. So now we'll see where this one goes. But first things first, what we're hearing, Buck Ballou dropped this earlier today, but a lot of folks that we're talking to, and Rusty will give us more clarification, that the rumors that Bobo's going to step down over health concerns are unfounded. So stay tuned for that. Also coming up today, man, we got a huge show. This hour of the show brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast, PadleyBuys.com. That's PadleyBuys.com. We got a huge show for you. Our man Brian McFadden on the NFL playoffs. I don't know anyone who isn't jacked, speaking of Lamar Jackson, for this Buffalo Ravens game up in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think we're going to get, I'm hoping, one for the ages. Now, the only thing is it's going to be cold. So does that keep the scoring down? If this was a game that was played elsewhere, Mike, I mean, I think these – and there's no debating. Both of these offenses are 30 points a game. They're, you know, they're 1 and 2 in the league
right.
when you start talking about points scored. But I just – that's the part I don't know. And if it's low scoring, do I believe in what I've seen with the Ravens defense since the bye week, sort of like us? They
right.
took a turn after their bye, and they start shutting the run down. They start shutting people down. Or do I believe that Josh Allen – is going to be able to do what I've seen him do week after week and put this team on his back? I'm fascinated by it. I'll be honest. I mean, like, and it may not even come down to those guys.
Right.
It may come down to something else. Pick six, strip sack. It may come down to something crazy that decides the game, and it's not on the shoulders of Lamar to go down and score 60 yards or, you know, for Josh to take his team 80 yards and go win on the last drive.
Also coming up, we mentioned Rusty Manziel after we hear from BMAC. We're also going to talk to Danny Cannell. If you missed that conversation yesterday, Danny on the national championship on Monday. Also, what he thinks about Carson Beck's legacy, where he's going to go in Miami, and also Georgia football as a whole. But wait, there's more. Steve Coonan, everybody's favorite CEO from the Atlanta Hawks. He'll join us as usually weekly visit at 4:40. And the guy has been on fire.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And was just doing some great things on both ends of the floor. Onyeka Okongwu is going to join us at 6:20 live here at Twin Peaks. Speaking of the Hawks, guys, let's give it up for Reyna, the smoking hot bartender, who gets an assist. Reyna, if you didn't hear, decided that I'm going to help the Hawks win this game on Tuesday night. She decided, Carl, to wear a very plunging neckline and to sit courtside with two other smoke shows. It was like Charlie's Angels, literally. And if you didn't see it, Booker and Durant, they were literally fumbling the ball out of bounds. They'd never seen anything like this.
Well, wouldn't you?
You know what I love? I walk in today. Raina goes, she goes, I saw you because we were up in the suite for a minute. She goes, how did you know it was me? I go, well, I don't know, Raina. Really smoking hot Asian chick bursting out of a dress with some ink. You know, I kind of figured it out. You know, it took me a minute. But anyway, come see Raina and
who
all
else,
the other goodness.
Who else could it be?
Yes, exactly. We'll talk to BMAC, Brian McFadden, on the NFL playoffs next. Paradise, Dukes, and Bellman, get you ready for the national championship on Monday. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Get some of the usual suspects, Carl, some guys pretending to be working on their laptops. Who are you trying to kid? Come on down and join the party. We'll be talking to Rusty Mansell about these rumors, which some feel are unfounded, about Mike Bobo perhaps stepping down as OC over health concerns. We'll get the 411 on that coming up here in about 20 minutes. Right now, though, on the WaitForIt.com hotline, he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, one of the best podcasts out there, all things covered. It's Brian McFadden joining us here on Dukes Bell. What's up, B-Mac?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Man, we're excited about this weekend. I mean, I know you are. Divisional round, you know, everybody's trying to find these upsets, and I'm having a hard time. I'll be honest with you. I do think there's one potential that we'll get to, but B, you know, I want to start with the game Mike and I said we're both excited about, and that's the Bills and Ravens. And what you expect to see in this game, and if you're the Bills, how do you beat the Ravens? What's the approach here? Because I think going into this game, all the momentum, the way the Ravens have played offensively, the way their defense has taken a turn, I just feel like, you know, I think it's a pick'em game, maybe 1 point, but I still feel like they're the favorites to win this game. What do the Bills have to do?
The Bills got to do what they were not able to do the first meeting, which is stopping or slowing down Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick Henry ran for, I think, a buck 90, something like that, against the Bills the first time. He had no answer. And if you look at what he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, when he's rolling the entire offense for the Ravens, they're much better. Lamar Jackson is better. But if you can find a way to neutralize or slow him down and kind of make the Ravens, you know, one-dimensional, you know, then there lies an opportunity to be successful. And the one bright spot for the Bills, Matt Milano was back in the lineup. You know, he's their best defensive player, and clearly his absence was felt the first time when they played Baltimore. Now, he's not a big linebacker, but the thing that he does for their defense, he's the quarterback of the entire unit. You know, they go as he goes. So just having him in the lineup and his ability to be the best communicator on the football field, you know, he's a tackling machine. And just the energy that he brings hopefully should help the Bills, but have a better shot in slowing down Derrick Henry compared to the first meeting.
You know, it's style makes the fight. And Carl talked about the cold weather. I know it was funny, Lamar Jackson saying, yeah, man, it's cold. Apparently they didn't have a thermostat in their training facility because apparently got into the low 30s up there in Baltimore. But B, you played in Pittsburgh. It just changes things. You know, I know if there's snow, that's one thing, but just the cold weather. I know the Falcons were the quintessential dome team. We were horrible in cold weather back in the Mike Vick years.
Yeah, and the thing about Buffalo cold is different than any other place. Like, it gets cold in Baltimore, right? I know firsthand. It gets cold in the D.C. area. It gets cold in Pennsylvania. But Buffalo cold, it hits different. Like, their 30 degrees is not the same 30 degrees that's in Baltimore. Trust me. It feels differently. But until this level, I mean, it is what it is. Now, the one issue I think that would be a potential problem for Baltimore is if it's snowy. You remember weeks ago when San Francisco played Buffalo and it was just snow everywhere? You can tell the 49ers, they were not accustomed to playing that weather. They was not accustomed to handle that type of traction. But for the players there in Buffalo, they have those experiences at least twice, but maybe three times a year, and they're more acclimated. So we're hearing that potential snow could come down in that ball game. And if that's the case, that definitely favors Buffalo more so than Baltimore. And I think that's more of a bigger issue than just having frigid temperatures, because cold is cold. But for these guys at this point, they can go ahead and make the adjustments. But when you're talking about playing in conditions in terms of the field that you're not accustomed to playing in, there lies an opportunity for you to kind of be a step behind compared to the home team in the Bills.
Do you like the Ravens?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I have to give you my answer with no bias tie, because, of course, you know I'm a Steeler, so I do not like the Ravens. I don't like anything about Baltimore. But they're playing some really, really good football. And I'm not saying the same can't be said for Buffalo, but just the way how they're doing it, it looks different. And, like I said, I think they have the favorite on their team in terms of the MVP in Lamar Jackson. And you know, when Lamar Jackson is just like, he's that type of player where you know he's going to get his. He's going to get his. He's going to get off. He's going to do what he needs to do. So I think Baltimore will make the necessary plays to be able to win.
It is a BMAC. Brian McFadden with us, guys, here on the Wait4.com hotline. Dukes of Bell live at Peaks in Buckhead. I will bounce around and cover some of the other games. We were talking about how great the Rams look. Aaron Donald steps away in their first playoff game. They crank out 9 sacks. They basically killed Sam Darnold's chance to make more than $40 million. And not sure what Minnesota's going to do. Can the Rams take away or limit Saquon and get Jalen Hurts to maybe force some mistakes?
I think they can call Mike, but I have more reservations about their ability to do that for 4 quarters. Because even if you look at the first meeting, they did a pretty good job against Saquon, except 2 runs. The 50-plus runs that he broke off, that was the issue for the Rams. So you talk about being able to, you know, play good defense against Saquon. Yeah, but you got to do that for 4 quarters. Because at any given time, if you're not playing with the right gap integrity, he can turn a 5-yard run into a 6-yard run. But also, too, we're hearing that it could be some snowfall in that ball game. So if that's the case, will that help the Rams defensively or will it hurt them, you know what I mean, in terms of the traction? But that's, if they can play just to the level they did against Minnesota, this game is going to be very, very interesting because I can tell you this much. When you look at this matchup, you have to start and you stop with the coaches, right? I've been singing Sean McVay's praise the entire year. I think he's the best head coach in the NFC. I repeat that. I think Sean McVay is the best coach in the NFC because he's shown the ability to do more with less and to have this team into the playoffs. If you look at what he did last year and getting that team into the playoffs and basically losing by one possession to the Detroit Lions, that man can coach ball. So if you give Sean McVay a window in this ball game, if you're Philly, look out. It could be a 4-quarter ball game. And the one issue with the Philadelphia Eagles, guys, they've been getting off to slow starts. They've been doing that the entire season, and it showed up last week. The good part for Philly was Green Bay just didn't want to win the ball game.
Yeah.
Because if Jordan Love just played smarter football and just made a extra play here or there, the way how their defense was playing, Green Bay could have won that ball game.
B, you bring up a good point, and I just want to follow up on this because I said this to Mike yesterday. It was early in the season, but we broke the Eagles off in that big defensive front for 150-plus on the ground. They run the ball like we do, and I'm talking about the Rams. Kyren Williams is a hell of a running back. I think Sean McVay is going to exploit some of the things that we did and other teams that have had success on the ground. I know everybody thinks that you can't run the ball against those guys, but I'm with you on this. And this is my upset, by the way. I think the Rams have a chance to go up there. If the Eagles start slow, to your point, they don't score points like they have in years past. I think the Rams can get up on them, and Mike can be, B-Mac be in this game in the fourth quarter. That's where I'm at in this game. Do you agree with the run game aspect of what I'm talking about?
Yes, and the thing is, Carl, Mike, people forget about how successful the Falcons were in running the football against the Eagles because that happened in September. But that tape is still out there. The Falcons, they were able to do something that some teams did not try to do. That's the thing. That was the first time we saw Atlanta stay devoted to the running game. They were patient with it, and they had some opportunities. To your point, Sean McVay is very, very patient as well. And he is going to allow the run to set up that zone play action that they rely on. And one thing we cannot forget and overlook, Matthew Stafford is still Matthew Stafford. Puka Nacua is still Puka Nacua. Now, for some reason, they kind of effaced Cooper Kupp out of the game plan. But you know, he's still a reliable player for their offense as well. So that when you look at all the games, I feel the same way you feel, Paul. I believe that could be the upset of this weekend because of the experience they have in the head coach and the Matthew Stafford. And to your point, if Philly get up to a slow start and let the Rams get rolling, that snowball might get too big coming downhill for them to move out of.
Right. And if the Rams get rolling, man, A.J. Brown, man, never get on the field, Carl. I'll be reading War and Peace on the sidelines. Hey, man, it is our man Brian McFadden as we're previewing the playoffs. We all feel Houston's going to get beat by Kansas City. You give the Texans a fighting chance, you just feel KC well-rested, and this is just not a good matchup for C.J. Stroud.
Of course, it's the playoffs. Mike, you got to give them a fighting chance. They've earned the right to be in this position. And let's keep it real. They surprised everyone because that was the upset last week no one was talking about or expecting. Houston winning the ball game, but in the fashion in which they did, their defense was phenomenal. And if they have any hopes to beat Kansas City, their defense will have to do exactly what they did last week even more to be able to come out on top. Now, this is a rematch as well. You know, this is a rematch. But the thing about this situation, guys, Pat Mahomes in the playoffs, number one, his career playoff record, he's 15-3, right? The quarterbacks that have beaten Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady twice, Joe Burrow once. Either quarterback is not in the playoffs. Pat Mahomes has never lost a divisional game. Like, he's averaged around 300 yards throwing in divisional games. And get this stat. In divisional games, which he's 6-0 in divisional games, this man has thrown 16 touchdowns and zero interceptions.
Yeah,
is that not greatness?
Right. Yeah, no, it is. And to your point, like, it's hard to believe that anybody in their right mind, unless you're just, you know, 1-800-GAMBLING, Mike, that you're betting, right. Betting
and
against that.
Hey, Carl, Mike, we can't overlook something. And every time Kansas City plays, especially in a meaningful game, it seems like the ball always bounces their way, right?
It does.
Think about
it. Yeah, and this is the other part. They've gotten a lot of rest. We got to ask you about the other game because we are fascinated with Jaden Daniels. They get the Lions. It is hard for me, B, to say with everything that's happened and the Lions where they are and to have the number one overall seed that they're going to screw this up this week. But that kid is something else, man. And if you give him a shot, I'm just saying, like, if this is a three-point game late and you're telling me you get the ball to Jaden Daniels, that might be a problem.
Hey, Jaden Daniels has the same mystique about his football DNA that Pat Mahomes has. To your point, if you give him the football in a final drive, it's almost like you know what he's going to do. You're just waiting for him to do it. That's the mystique he has. Like, he's Mr. Clutch, and the moment is never too big for him. And to your point, I believe out of all the games we will watch this weekend, the Detroit Lions, they're under the most pressure. And the reason why I say that is because they had a control over their division the entire season. They basically had control over the number one spot the majority of the season, right? So they've been the most dominant, best team in the NFC the entire season, and you have the luxury of having everything come through your place in the playoffs. And if you lose your first playoff game, and also, too, you think about what they did last year. They basically returned the same team, right? So if you lose to a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach at home, that would be the most disappointing loss out of any game we can talk about and give our predictions on based on how well Detroit has played. And one thing I'm concerned about with Detroit, having that first-round bye, because sometimes that helps teams and sometimes it hurts teams, right? Kansas City, they're used to being in this position, having a bye. We don't know how Detroit will handle this because the last game we saw them play, they were really, really rolling. And sometimes you want to keep that rhythm going because you got nice momentum going. But because of that bye, they had to sit last week out. So that's an intriguing matchup because Jaden Daniels is him. Man, he is a made man. He's a rookie, but he's playing like a double-digit year vet.
Right. Love his game, man. I wanted him here, but obviously that was an impossibility. All right, B-Mac, enjoy the weekend, man. Enjoy MLK Day as well, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
That's our man, Brian McFadden. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Rumors in the air about Mike Bobo stepping down, health concerns. Buck Ballou thinks so. Some people say, nope. We'll talk to Rusty Manziel and find out what the hell is going on in Athens next. It is Tukes and Bell, and yes, rumors are in the air. We're live at Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. This hour of the program brought to you by Padley. Sell your home fast for cash, baby. Go to PADLYBuys.com. That's PadleyBuys.com. Carl, Buck Ballou, former Georgia quarterback earlier today on his radio program, said that he's hearing that Mike Bobo is going to step down for health concerns, which immediately got a lot of people, especially Georgia fans, going, wow, what's this all about, and is this for real? We're hearing no. Let's get the guy that knows the coach, knows the coaching staff, and knows recruiting inside and out with Georgia, and that is Rusty Manziel, who you hear on the Steakhouse. Rusty joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline.
So, Rusty, first and foremost, before we get into the particulars, this is not true, right?
1,000% not true.
Okay. Now let's get into
it. I could have ended that and been drinking with y'all at Twin Peaks.
I already know. I know. But I just want to, I want people to hear that. And then let's get into the particulars. First of all, what is his status? And I'm talking about Mike Bobo. Season has ended. He is on the staff. We assume, Mike and I have been talking, he's going to be the OC moving forward. What do you know about his status and what? Where is he? What's going on with him right now?
He's recruiting in Florida. Matter of fact, Carl, you may not like this. He is seeing Texas quarterback commit bailed at an American Heritage High School as about an hour ago. Mm. Yes, I'm sorry.
Don't
sorry to bring that news to you.
Yeah, that's Howard. Okay.
He's out recruiting like everybody else. I don't get into too many personal details, but let me further tell you about what I heard today. He didn't go to his son's senior football banquet last night because he's on the road recruiting. Now, if I'm planning to retire next week, I'm going to make my son's senior football banquet. So there's a few notes in there with that. There's a lot of questions. Obviously, the Georgia offense did not have a great year. Didn't go the way people wanted it to. I think you saw the answer from Kirby Smart. They went out and got wide receivers. They didn't go out and get guys. They went out and beat people for guys. What does that mean in today's world? They went out and outspend people to get wide receivers. They have All-Americans coming in from the high school level, and they have two targets that were major, major targets for big boys coming in. You know, Noah Thomas, Zachariah Brandt, these guys coming in. So, you never say never. And obviously there can be changes. But what I have to answer for today was that report. And with that report, I can 1,000% say Mike Bobo has no plans to retire. He's not dealing with health issues. He has some health issues at Colorado State. Everything I know with those things, that particular, issue he was dealing with has gotten a lot better over the years, and he's back to, coaching ball every day and not have any kind of setback. He has no limitations. I think that, and I haven't heard the entire interview, so I'm just going to say what was told. He doesn't have trouble, or he's not on a golf cart at practice. I mean, this guy is a huge golfer and football and those types of things. So, when someone comes like that and brings a report like that, I have to answer for it. So on my end, I can tell you with my sources, 1,000% not true.
Rusty Mansell, guys, co-owner, publisher of Dogs Headquarters, you hear him on Steakhouse. He says, don't believe it, and says what he's hearing, that there's nothing to Mike Bobo having health concerns and stepping down. We were talking about this the other day off the air, Russ. It's not Mike Bobo's fault the guys couldn't catch the football, the drops and all that. Yeah. I just felt we couldn't run the football enough, and I thought you wasted Trevor Etienne's now 1 year in Athens. But is that going more on Stacy Sarles and what's not happening in the trenches?
That's going to be the biggest question in the offseason, because here's what I can talk about is history. And whatever side of the fence you're on with Mike Bobo, whether you're a Mike Bobo fan, Stacy Sarles fan, you're not, those two together historically have always been able to run the football, period. And this year, for whatever reason, they were not able to run the football. That is something I guarantee you that's going to be addressed, because you can go out and get wide receivers, and you can go out and get some guys. But everybody on that offensive line this year, those guys are going to the NFL. Four of them have left for the NFL, and you underperformed there. What went wrong, and how can you fix it? Well, you're going to replace those guys. What you know you're replacing them with? Highly recruited players. So you've got to get that fixed. Trevor Etienne being hurt this year was, and it just never really got flowing with him. For whatever reason, I don't know. Nate Frazier is who everybody thought he was. He had some, fumble issues. He's got to get fixed. So there was a lot there. I don't know the answer to that, but I want to say it was at a one-off, because history shows you, under Mike Bobo with Stacy Sarles, they have always been able to run the football. This year, they were not able to for whatever reason. I would imagine that is going to be a huge focus in the offseason and the spring. Two things you don't see out of a Kirby Smart team: the inability to run the football, they couldn't do it consistently, and tackling. This was the worst tackling team I've seen under Kirby Smart ever at Georgia. So I guarantee you spring practice is not going to be fun. You know what that tells you? If you want to run the football, you're going to get physical, and they're going to do some tackling to the ground during the spring. I guarantee that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Rusty Mansell joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, guys, talking about rumors that are out there. We're trying to set the record straight because we want Dog fans not wigging out, because immediately, Rusty, when this came down, right, people immediately, know the deal, they start hitting you up and they're like, hey, what's going on?
It was the health issue.
Like, sure.
People really put the football to the side. People are texting me going, hey, is Mike Bobo okay? Like, I mean, I'm hearing from players' families that I know. Like, hey, is Coach Bobo okay? And I was like, I had to go back and hear it. So when you say somebody's stepping down for health issues, that's pretty deep, man. You better be right on that. And everything I've heard today from the sources I trust, that is simply not the case.
It is our man, Rusty Mansell, guys, breaking it down, talking about what he's hearing about Georgia. And you just heard it. Don't believe what you've heard from
a guy that apparently didn't know what he's talking about. All right, man, moving on to this transfer portal. You got one more portal coming up. So yep. Where do they go, and what else is coming up? And are they going to lose? You always worry about, are they going to hemorrhage any more players in this, in spring football?
Well, you always worry about that second window, everybody. But here's the rule, too. And let me give you a little backstory. Deshaun Purdy left Florida. He, signed his letter, signed his financial aid agreement with Florida, the quarterback from Charlotte. He never goes to Florida. He never moves to Florida. He never enrolls in Florida. But when he signed that financial aid agreement, the timeline he did, he was locked in. So he got out of it, but he couldn't go to Georgia. He was going to go to Georgia this week, from everything I heard. But the SEC to SEC transfer window is open. So that pushes you into May. So you're not going to have the SEC transfers and, kids going from Alabama to Georgia, Texas, those types of deals. It's going to be the USC and Ohio State. Can those guys get players from the SEC? Can the SEC get players from there? You don't typically see a ton of post-spring transfers so far, but I will say Georgia is going to be heavily in the edge position, in my opinion, because of the Damon Wilson. Now, that's the one to me that hurts. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. That's a kid that was a five-star out of Florida. Carl, I think, knows that the two best games I saw him play this year were against Texas.
Yes, sir.
His physicality, showing rushing, blitzing. And I think he was going to be the guy next year that was going to be the Jalen Walker to do that. But he left. And Georgia's going to have to find, they recruited some young guys. They're going to have to play there. But I think if there's anywhere that Georgia's going to be really interested and really appealing, if somebody goes in that portal that's a jack outside linebacker defensive end, I would think Georgia's going to be very attractive because, listen, people are going to look at Nolan Smith and all these guys and, even Jalen Walker, he's going to be – unfortunately, I'm hearing now he's going to be a top 10 pick, and I'm pissed off about that. I want him to be 15th. I think Georgia – I think edge is going to be the spot that Georgia's really – and now running back with Trevor Etienne. You know what I heard about that with the two Penn State running back coming back at the last minute? Kind of pushed him up the draft board. He was already re-enrolled. He was already back in class at Athens.
Wow.
And lo and behold, yep, think about that. So, I didn't give Mike Conte a hug this morning when I saw him, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And Rusty, we were just talking about that to start the show. I just felt that, when it came to Bobo and the play calling, sometimes, run the damn ball. I've been here since 1998, and I've heard that a lot when it comes to Bobo. It gets back to the trenches. I just felt the Alabama game was the one game this year. If you want to break it down game by game, because if you follow any football team, you're going to get upset about play calling. I get that.
Yep.
It just seemed like the Alabama game was – the events get out of hand, you let Alabama dictate. Why let Carson Beck get into like a piddling contest with Jalen Milroe when you can run the football and set your tone and make it your game in Alabama as opposed to how it kind of got away from him in the first half?
I think that complete game got away from him, and I think you go back and look at it, and I feel like I'm a football expert, but I don't dig into the X and O's. The people I talk to after that game that really I trust with football, Georgia went after Jalen Milroe, all out blitz, and he burned them. And next thing you know, you're down 28-0. So I don't know offensively if they had a game plan for 28-0 other than let's turn this damn thing loose. So I think it's a complete game there. I think Georgia, listen, you can be – whatever you want to say about Mike Bobo, they went out and got guys. They went out and got All-Americans in high school. They went out and got these receivers. Is Mike Bobo – is this Georgia team going to look like 2023, which is one of the best offenses in the country, or is it going to look like 2024? I don't know. But they went out and got the pieces. They think they can fix it. So, we're going to find out. They got a tough schedule again. But, what I'm answering for today is Mike Bobo retiring for health issues. Is Mike Bobo stepping down next week? And I can say 1,000% that is not true.
All right, Rusty, I want to take you back a couple of years. We are all around the city and state watching high school football. I brought this up yesterday, and this relates to the national championship before we get you out of here. Caleb Downs is coming back to the crib. Won a state championship a couple of years ago. Went to Alabama. Yep. I said, started as a true freshman. Saban leaves. He goes to Ohio State. Kid's been unbelievable. Taking you back a couple of years ago, did he ever have any intent of going to Georgia?
He did. Out of high school, they were uphill the whole time. Just never really could make it. When in the portal, man, they were Georgia fans would be upset how close that one got. That Thursday night when he went to Ohio State, flew down to see him. Thursday morning, did an in-home visit with him. He left that visit. He drove to Athens with his mom and dad. He was over that afternoon. He had dinner with the entire Georgia staff that night. Went and saw some places to live. Friday morning, papers were submitted to where could he get in that late. I think everything was approved. The only thing he had to do at that point was say, I'm a dog. And about 6 hours later, he went to Ohio State. That thing got really, really close. This is what I tell you in recruiting all the time, guys. There's no point in second place. But Caleb Downs is one of the best kids I've ever covered. Not just one of the best football players. One of the best kids. People don't mention this. Stu was National Honor Society. And you start putting that package of who he is, this is a guy that's going to be a 10-year NFL guy. This guy will be the leader of your city, not your team. This will be a guy you want to represent your city. He's a dude, man. That one hurts Georgia, no question, but he's a dude. He's a great kid.
Carl, I know you've said he's got a great head on his shoulders. You've talked about it.
Yeah. Hey,
real quick, Rusty, just the big picture. Notre Dame was living in Georgia's backfield. Just, I mean, living out physical. And that's another reason why we talked about Stacey Searles and that O-line. You see, the under is the play, 45.5, low-scoring game. I think a lot of folks feel that Notre Dame can replicate at times what Michigan did. Are you buying that, or are you still like Ohio State to get it done?
I just think Ohio State's peaking at the right time, man. I think they figured it out, and whatever the hell they were doing all year, fooling around with that mess, I have no idea. But unfortunately, Tennessee found out. And since that Tennessee game, they had the best roster. I think they're the best team. I think they're on a roll. But I'll tell you what, man, what Notre Dame has done and how well coached they are, if Ohio State makes any mistake, that will be a full quarter game. They are patient. They will run the ball, they will punt, and they want you to make a mistake, and they want to capitalize on special teams. Man for man, they're not a better team than Ohio State, but if they can get that to the fourth quarter, it's going to be a game all the way to the end. But if Ohio State jumps up 14-0 in the first 10 minutes, it's going to be a wrap, and it might get ugly quickly because they are super explosive. And I don't think that Notre Dame has the back end that Texas had. Texas' secondary, they manned him up. They double-teamed Jeremiah Smith. They took a Buka out of the game. I mean, they did everything they could.
They weren't
going to
let him beat
them. But I don't know. Just because you got that scheme don't mean you got the guys to play that scheme. And I just don't know that Notre Dame is quite as good as Texas on that back end. And that's what made Texas so good in that game.
Great point.
All right, Rusty, really appreciate it, man. If you're just tuning in, rumors about Mike Bobo stepping down over health concerns. Rusty says he's not hearing there's any truth, any validity to that. So if you're a dog fan, if you like Bobo, then he's going to stick around. If you feel the other way, I can't help you there. Rusty, thanks for jumping on, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Rusty.
Thanks, guys. Y'all enjoy it, man.
You got it. Hear him on the Steakhouse as well, of course, next week. Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
Did you hear what he said, though, dog fans? Kirby came in and said, we're changing the budget. We are allocating more funds over here to wide receiver.
Yes.
And we're moving some funds over here. You should not worry about next year and guys catching the ball. He's telling you there's enough dudes that will be in the room, and they know that was an issue this year.
What does Danny Cannell think about the Georgia Bulldogs and the national championship? That's coming up here in about a half hour's time. But when we return, Falcons hunt for a defensive coordinator. More names are out there. The guy that you and I like is going to talk next week. We'll say who's the best fit to get the Falcons, you know, to not suck on defense, Carl. Next.